Good. Father, once more this morning, I want to just come and just celebrate your incredible love to us and just the, again, your involvement. And today, as we sit in the atmosphere of your Holy Spirit, we sit in the atmosphere of the ministry of your Holy Spirit in your glory. And we want to thank you as you open again just your heart for us to have an understanding of what's happening. And you just want to inspire us again to just minister to us in our unique ways where we're needing understanding, where we're needing ministry, whatever way, Father, you're so good. And we just receive today the grace that comes through your Son, Jesus, and the joy of us standing in this grace of yours. Being established in this grace and just how you are just for us and loving us and helping us. And today I really ask that the reality of who you are will be made known more by your Holy Spirit. And this I ask in Jesus' name, not only for us, but for the nation and for the believers, unbelievers, that by your Holy Spirit there will be a deep awakening within the hearts of men and women, a spiritual hunger to know the reality of you. And we just know that you just make yourself known. And we thank you through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Believe it or not, I'm actually going to read some Old Testament today. So we want to start over there this morning. And let's get to the where we want to be. I want to go to 1 Kings. And a few things the Holy Spirit was just highlighting throughout the week that helps us understand. Often people are saying God's going to judge the world now. But the reality is that he first disciplines his church. Judgment begins in the house of God. and there's a reason for that. And so today we want to just look a little bit more of what God is doing, what our Lord Jesus is doing, and the reality of what the hope that we have received, and how to walk in hope more and more and to experience this God hope. So in 1 Kings, remember in, well, let's go first, in 1 Kings chapter 8, here we see when Solomon has completed building the temple. And in 2 Samuel chapter 7, that is when God comes and he makes that promise, gives David that promise that David, you yourself is not going to be the one to build the temple for my name. And he emphasizes for my name, because the temple was not only for the sacrificial offerings and et cetera, but the key about the temple was concerning the name of God. And so here we see here that Solomon now fulfills that. And in verse 16, he says in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 16 onwards, since the day I brought my people Israel out of Egypt, I have not chosen a city in any tribe of Israel to have a temple built. This is God speaking, that my name might be there, but I have chosen David to rule my people Israel. So once again, I want to focus this morning a little bit on the emphasis when God keeps on saying to David and to Solomon that the temple is going to be a place where my name will be there. And just the impact that that has in the lives of not only Israel, but the nations. And so my father David had in his heart to build a temple for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. The Lord said to my father David, you did well to have it in your heart to build a temple for my name. Nevertheless, you are not the one to build the temple, but your son, your own flesh and blood. He is the one that will build the temple for my name. And then he carries on, the Lord has kept the promise he made. I have succeeded David, my father, and now sit on the throne of Israel, just as the Lord promised, and I built the temple for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. I have provided a place there for the ark, in which is the covenant of the Lord that he made with our ancestors when he brought them out of Egypt. And then we carry on over here in verse 29. And then in verse 29, we see that he's now busy praying, and he's just speaking to God as part of the dedication and so forth. May your eyes be open towards this temple day and night, the place of which you said, my name shall be there, so that you will hear the prayer of your servant praise towards this place. And then again, he carries on over there, and in verse 33, you know, the whole thing is about the life of Israel and all the time, whether they're going into battle or whether they've sinned or whether there's drought, whatever the case may be. All the time they can turn and they can come to the temple because God's name is there, and they can pray. And Solomon is praying, but I'm asking that you will hear the prayers of the people. And then he comes here in verse 33 again, and he continues, when you're, that's about also the app in the warfare and so forth. But verse 41, now all of a sudden we start seeing another emphasis. As for the foreigner who does not belong to you, to your people Israel, but has come from a distant land because of your name, for they will hear of your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm. When they come and pray towards the temple, then hear from heaven, your dwelling place, do whatever your foreigners ask of you, so that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your own people Israel, and may know that this house I have built bears your name. Now you can see here, Solomon is saying, but your dwelling is in heaven, it's not here, but you've placed your name here. And he says here, but it's not only for the house of Israel, but now for the foreigners as well. Because when the foreigners hear about your greatness, when the foreigners come over here because of your name, as they pray, hear their prayers. And so we begin to see something profound here that, well, let's look at one more verse here in this portion of scripture. In verse 60, we see over here, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God and there is no other. So we see here that, as I said, the temple is not just for the provision made for the Israelites to come and offer sacrifices and come and worship God and have the annual sacrifices, etc., etc. But here we see that the temple, carrying the name of God, has a particular function as well, and that is to be a testimony, a witness of God's involvement with mankind. And so everybody, all the Israelites, the temple is there, so they were constantly conscious of God, of his working, of his dealings with Israel, plus the other nations, because the other nations, the foreigners, the non-Jewish people, they knew that this temple carried the name of God. And so they were very conscious of God's dealing with mankind. And so it was a witness, it was a testimony to all people of that was in that known, in the known world at that time. And in the Ten Commandments, if you can remember in the Ten Commandments, one of the Ten Commandments over there is in the reality of the name of God. Let me just go to verse 7. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. And so the Ten Commandments is before the tabernacle. The Ten Commandments is before the temple. And so here we see the name of God, the not misuse the name of God. Now they build the temple for the name of God. So all of this, you know, we're seeing, it's all a prophetic statement concerning the coming of Christ Jesus, concerning the new covenant and so forth. So we'll get into that now. But I want you just to see that one more scripture over here in 1 Kings chapter 9, in verse 3, again, just to emphasize this over there. And the Lord said to him, so Yah, the Lord now answers Solomon's prayer, and he says, I've heard the prayer and plea you have made before me. I have consecrated this temple which you have built by putting my name there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. And so the prayer for the house of Israel, the prayer for the nations, God says, I've heard your prayer, Solomon. And they will experience the reality of my name being associated with this building that you have built. And then he carries on over there, and I want to just read verse 6 and 9 as well of this, of same chapter there. But if you or your descendants turn away from me and do not observe the commands and decrees I have given you and go off to serve the other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land I have given them and will reject this temple I have consecrated for my name. Israel will become my byword. This is the key over here in verse 7. Israel will then become a byword and an object of ridicule amongst all people. So when Israel disobeys God, God's dealing with Israel because now all nations know the name of God associated with Israel, with the temple. Now all of a sudden, Israel now will be a testimony to all nations. And so all people, Israel will then become a byword and an object of ridicule amongst all people. It's all nations. The temple will become a heap of rubble. All who pass by will be appalled and will scoff and say, why has the Lord done such a thing to this land and to this temple? And the people will answer it, because they have forsaken the Lord, their God, who brought the ancestors out of Egypt and have embraced other gods, worshipping and serving them. That is why the Lord brought all the disaster on them. So as I just conclude this portion over here, here we see again that the temple carrying the name of God, bearing the name of God, was a witness, was a testimony to Israel and to all nations. So the name of God is a witness and a testimony to all nations. And so the nations, when Israel was happening, they would say, but this is God, this is God. And they were very conscious that this is the act of God upon the land, upon the people. This is God, because Israel has turned their back to God. And so again, what a testimony, what a witness that this temple had amongst the nations and amongst the house of Israel. Now, back to the Ten Commandments. In that Ten Commandments, when God is saying, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Now, that word misuse is a very interesting word, because it's a word that says carry, bear. When in Exodus 28 and verse 24, Aaron was to carry, the same word, was to bear the names of the sons of Israel on his breastplate when he goes into the presence of God. So he was to carry them on his heart. He was to represent them before God in the role of intercession. And so here we see here that when we're speaking about this, do not misuse, we're speaking about the reality of bearing the name of God, carrying his name, and to live, to conduct life in a way that represents God. And he's saying in our lifestyle and everything that you guys are doing, is speaking to the house of Israel, everything that you do, make sure that my character, my nature, who I am, is not discredited, it's not displayed in a way that is not who I am. And so it's a very powerful statement, a powerful command that God has given to Israel in their way of living now, and that's why He gives them the rules and the way of lifestyle, so that as they live this lifestyle according to these Ten Commandments and all the other rules that He gives them over there, they represent His nature, His holiness, His righteousness, His dealings with man. And so they were to live a lifestyle that carried His name, so that the nations could see the reality of that. So here we come and we start to see something very interesting taking place, because in Ezekiel chapter 36, just to share that there in verse 23 concerning the house of Israel, and we see over there, Ezekiel 36:23, and he says over there, "Therefore say to the Israelites, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, it is not for your sake, people of Israel, that I'm going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you have gone. I will show this holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned among them. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Sovereign Lord, when I am proved holy through you before their very eyes." So once again, God's dealing now with Israel. That's why, as I shared right in the beginning, judgment begins in the house of God. And that because God's dealing with Israel has a profound effect for the nations to have a revelation of the greatness of God. Now remember, we are in the old covenant, and the old covenant here, there's a revelation of God in His righteousness, His justice, etc., in His holiness. This is really very being made known to all, His greatness, His everything about God. There's a certain revelation that has been revealed over here through His dealings with Israel, and that. But it's important to realize that this is old covenant and God's dealing, but in the new covenant, it's there's the same reality, because remember, in the new covenant now, we, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, "Do you not know that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." And so now we're seeing this incredible shift taking place concerning the New Testament, where now we have the Holy Spirit within us. When Jesus teaches us to pray in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done." So all of a sudden we see over here, because we remember, when we are baptized into the name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So now, as the family of God, as children, as the body of Christ, we who are in Christ Jesus, we now carry the name, we bear the name of God. And so we are the people now, when we say, "Hallowed be your name," we are actually, first of all, saying, "God, here we are. May we carry your name, so that you are glorified in everything we do, we'll say." And so that's why in Colossians, we see over there in chapter 3:17, "Whatever we do, whatever we say, we do it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." You and I now, we are the people that are living in this world, and we carry the name, we bear the name, we represent the character, the nature of God, because His Spirit is in us, but also now we make His presence known. So the people that are not in the light, in other words, they're not in relationship with God, God is light, they're not living through Christ, united with God, they are outside of the light, they are still in darkness, they now are able to see in the family of God, in the children of God, they are able to see the character of God, the nature of God, they're able to see and they're able to experience the presence of God, the workings of God, through us, the temple of God, the family of God, the children of God, the body of Christ. And so because we now, we in our hearts and our minds, we have this, "Father, we want your name to be hallowed. We want your name to be holy. You want your name to be glorified. That's our heart. That's our ambition. That's the passion. That's the working of the Holy Spirit within us, the law of the Spirit of life. That's the reality of us as children of God. And so we live a holy life. We choose righteousness. We don't serve unrighteousness because of the power of sin is broken. Now we continue to live a lifestyle so that our Father, the name of God, is glorified in our behavior. So we carry the name. We bear the name of God so that he is glorified. And it's a profound thing. And that is why it's so important for you and I to realize, just as the temple carried the name so that the unsaved, the people out of nation Israel, can have a testimony and have a witness, you and I now, as the children of God, in every town that we stay in, we need to be very thankful to God for placing us in a town, in a city, in a workplace, in a school, wherever we may be. We need to thank God because we are light to the world. We are salt to the earth. And because we are there carrying the name of God, God has placed a witness. He's placed a testimony in that town, in that office, in that school, in that, you know, in wherever we may be. He's placed a testimony, you and I, as children of God, so that now they are conscious of God. They know we are Christians. They know the name that we carry, the name of Jesus. They are aware of that. It's a testimony to them. And the Holy Spirit works, because now the Holy Spirit works in them as they see the way we live. They see the way we speak. As they see the way we honor the name of God. And they have this incredible testimony in their face, you know, just there, wherever they may be. Here we are, as light and as salt, right in their face, and they can't escape from that incredible testimony. And that's why there's always persecution to the body of Christ, because of darkness always trying to really just snuff out the light. But Jesus says, "I'm building my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Because Jesus has overcome. And so we're in the winning light, you know, the most powerful light, and then we cannot be snuffed out. And then, so here we have this amazing truth over here. So for us to begin to understand something about this participation of Jesus, Jesus comes, and as he prays in John chapter 17, and he prays a prayer. And he says, "Father, the hours come, glorify your Son." And then verse 4, he says, "I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me." And if we go back into John chapter 12, verse 27, he says over there, "Father, glorify your name." Jesus is speaking all the time that everything that Jesus did was to glorify the name of his Father, because Jesus was carrying the name of his Father. He's come in the Father sent him. He's come in the authority of the Father. And so all the time, our Lord Jesus, remember the Father in him that's working. And so he was living a life in fulfilling the reality of all the ultimate fulfillment of what it means to honor the name of the Father. Jesus did it. He lived that lifestyle. We could not do that. But Jesus has done it for you and I in our place. And that's the reality of this grace in which we now stand. Everything that man could not have done, everything that the house of Israel in the old covenant, in honoring the name of God, that they could not do, Jesus has done it. He's fulfilled that. And so now you and I, as we have received his righteousness, this includes the reality that he fulfilled ultimately everything what God required, what it means to truly honor, hallowed be your name. He did it for you and I. And we now, by the Holy Spirit, we step in and we live in that reality as the Holy Spirit works in us. And we find now, because we are not yielded to the flesh, we are yielded to the Holy Spirit. We're no longer serving unrighteousness. We are now serving righteousness because of what Christ has done. You and I start to live in the work of Christ and what he has done by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the law of the Spirit of life. We start to live in that reality. So our life and everything we do or say now, we do it living and growing into the incredible fulfillment of honoring our Heavenly Father. That's why when you and I, we mess up and sometimes we have a bad day and we lose it, etc., etc., etc. Now, we can go into condemnation or we could realize, but Jesus, you have done it in my place. I've messed up here and I thank you for your blood that continuously cleanses me and purifies me and removes all unrighteousness, as we see there in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 to verse 9 over there. And so that's important for you and I to realize the work, what Christ has done, you and I, that's what it means to stand in grace. We are receiving what Christ did where we could not have done. But now that we are a new creation and we have the life of Christ in us, we are now able to live a life that truly honors the name of our God. We can carry his name well. We can bear his name well. We can make known the fruit of the Holy Spirit within us. We carry the name, and now we can start showing the world what the nature of God is all like. The power, the gifts, etc., the healing ministry, the deliverance ministry, whatever it may be, all of that now is the testimony of the name, of the character, of the nature of God that you and I carry. And so we live a life now on this earth where there's darkness all around us, but we are light, living on the kingdom. The mountain of God is the kingdom of God. We are on this mountain of God, and his glory shines all over, so that the people have a witness. They look at the believers. We are a testimony. We are a witness. We're in their face. They cannot ignore the light that is in us. They cannot ignore that over there. They may hide and try and deny, but we are a testimony to the unsaved. Okay, so now we want to just move into an application today. In as children of God, we are people that are living amongst, as I said, people that are in the dark. And when people are in the dark, they don't understand the hope that you and I have. They don't understand why we are hopeful people. They don't understand why we can look at tomorrow and be excited about tomorrow. They don't understand that because they're not in this hope that comes from our Lord Jesus Christ. They are in a worldly hope and so there's been disappointment, his promises, and they live in that broken promise expectation. They live in the reality of humanity that cannot keep promises. They live in the own inabilities, and they break their own promises, etc., etc. So that's the hope that they don't understand, this hope that we live, because we live in a hope where God's word is true. It's an amen in Christ Jesus. God is faithful. He cannot deny himself, cannot lie. So we live in a hope that is above any other hope that mankind can experience. Only the child of God can know what we're talking about. And we know that part of the journey for us now as children of God that carry his name, we walk by faith. We live our life by faith. The reality of God, God is so real to you and I. We cannot see him. He's so real. There's no doubting about that, because that's the faith that God has given to you and I, and that's a confidence, that's assurance, that's a guarantee, but part of the faith is the hope for things that we do not yet see. And so we now, because we hear God, we find there that within us is this incredible hope that we've been speaking about. So in Romans, and here in chapter 15 and verse 13, Paul prays a prayer, and he says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This hope is light This hope is a testimony as we as believers, the God of hope, we as believers now carry his name. We carry the name God of hope. We carry that name. We bear that name. We live that lifestyle, the reality of hope, because it's the hope that comes from God by the Holy Spirit. And so that's a testimony to a world that is so desperate, so clinging on to man's promises, so hoping that the government's going to do this, so hoping that this is going to do that. They're living in a hope. It's uncertain hope. They're hoping that there will be a pension at the end of the day, and they're hoping that the bank balance is going to be there at the end of the day. It may be, it may not be. There's no guarantee. And so there's this hope that they have over there, and it's not guaranteed hope. It's that. And so here you and I, we are not of this world. We're in a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So this God hope cannot be shaken. It's God's hope. It's a hope that comes from God. God cannot be shaken. You and I partake with that. This is, as I shared, this is a testimony to the people in the world that's got no hope. It's a testimony to the people in the body of Christ that's lost their hope, that there is a way forward. Why are we living in hope where they are battling, they are believers? You see, because the shield of faith, remember, faith has hope in it. Very often, that's the area that Satan attacks so often, is our faith. And so we drop that faith and hopelessness comes in very, very quickly. So as a child of God, when you and I are finding that we have lost hope, it's simply because we're not walking in faith anymore. That's the bottom line. And that's how we come back to the Holy Spirit. I'm not walking in faith. I need to hear the word of God for this situation. I need to hear God speak. I need his word, because faith comes. And once again, we've got that shield of faith to be able to deal with every fiery dart that Satan comes and throws our way, because hope is that shield. Because faith, that substance, everything we've been speaking about faith in the earlier episodes, we've got this incredible shield. And in this shield of faith is this incredible hope that just stops every fiery dart that Satan has thrown at us and shot at us. And that's how powerful this hope is. That's why it's a testimony. We are people, despite what's taking place, we are people that are living in a kingdom, and we have this hope of God alive within us, because that's the power of the Holy Spirit's work within us. Now, one of the things about, you know, often we hear folks speak about, I wish God would do this. I wish God would help me out here. I just really wish God would be doing this for me. And then we would also hear, oh, I hope God will do this. I hope God will do that. And there's a big difference in the word hope and the word wish in the English language. Hope is looking to the future for a better outcome, and it's futuristic. That's why faith, God speaks. We cannot yet see, and it's not a reality yet in the physical, but now there's this hope, because this hope is operating on a guarantee that future will become a reality. So it's looking into the future, what God has spoken, and you are guaranteed it's alive within you. This hope is a reality, and you know that's an outcome. So you're looking forward to the outcome, where the wish is rooted in regret. I wish I had not done this. I wish I had only done this. I wish I had not said that. And that. So when we say, I wish God would do that, we're actually saying, God, I regret that you did not come through for me. You know, and so you're living in regret. And that. And so we're not people of regret. We are people of hope, because we know our God. We know Christ is the King of Kings. We know what he's done, and we walk by faith. And so when we move into regret, it's again, the shield of faith is dropped and the enemy is busy attacking, and we are listening to the lies. We are listening, and we have lost faith again. What God had spoken, we're no longer believing. We're no longer walking in that, what God has spoken. And so we become discouraged. And eventually we find there that we've lost hope and so forth. And so here's a prayer that is so, so important, that Paul is praying, is blessing the body of Christ. This verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Our bodies is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You and I have received the Holy Spirit. And here we see the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's because it's by the power of the Holy Spirit that this hope of God overflows. The Holy Spirit makes the hope of God our reality. Without the Holy Spirit, we will not be living in this hope. But we have the Holy Spirit so we can experience the hope of God. What an incredible truth this is, that this God, this hopeful God, our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, such a profound truth, the hope in him, because he has overcome who he is. He's been given the name. Jesus has been given the name above every other name. You and I carry his name. And now this, our Lord Jesus Christ, because of who he is, he has his authority, his power, his victory, and that we live in that reality of the outworking of what he has done. We may not experience it right now, but we will experience it in the future. So we live in the reality that every promise that God has spoken to you and I is an amen, a yes, in Christ Jesus. So we may not experience right now the breakthrough, but we look forward to the guaranteed breakthrough in the near future. You see, that's the hope. It's alive. I think many of us can share. There's been many times when don't ever send to my name, and I'm excited because I say, God, I really look forward to how you're going to come through in this one. There's this hope. You see, it's a guaranteed hope because God's promise is yes in his son Jesus, and I know what God has promised. And so there's that hope, it's a powerful medication, if you want. Hope is a good medication that deals with all kinds of despondency and all kinds of, you know, things that we have, issues that we have, and that. So this is my prayer for you this morning. May the God of hope fill you with all joy, not partial joy. Listen to the words. May the God of hope fill you, not half empty, fill you with all joy and peace. So that peace is part of the all joy and all peace. As you trust, that's the faith reality. As you by faith just receive that God is a God of hope, as you by faith just receive the working of the Holy Spirit, as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, I want to thank you for the ministry of your Holy Spirit in our lives this morning. And this is my decree, not only in my own life, but all of our lives, that you, God, the God of hope, that you will fill us with all joy and all peace as we trust in you. I'm asking today where there's been discouragement. I'm asking today where there has been times when by just being persuaded by the world, where we have been persuaded by others, where we've been persuaded by the demonic, whatever persuasion that we have taken hold of instead of your persuasion of truth, today I'm asking, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that once again, all that other persuasion just be removed as we hear you speak. And once again, as you minister to us by your Holy Spirit, hope because of who you are. We want to thank you that we carry your name, we bear your name, the God of hope, that we may live our lives in this world where this hopelessness is so, so strong, where we live as children full of hope. What a testimony, what a powerful testimony it is that bears your name, that testifies your involvement, it testifies your son Jesus' victory and who he is. So we want to thank you for the privilege of being in the towns, the cities, being in the offices, the workplace, for being in the schools, the universities, being in the homes, the families, wherever we are, We want to thank you for placing us here so that, Lord, the unsaved can become conscious of you, because we come in your name. We carry your name, Jesus. We've been baptized into your name, and we want to thank you for that. So whatever we do, whatever we say, we do it in your name, Lord, and we want to thank you for that privilege. So as we pray, Father, in the future, the prayer that Jesus taught us, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, we want to thank you that by the power of your Holy Spirit, we can partake in the fulfillment of your Son who did it perfectly. And now by the Holy Spirit's power, we can now begin to deal and work and to live in the reality of honoring your name day after day as we grow in this, as we walk and we experience this incredible working of your Holy Spirit, enabling us just to be such examples of righteousness that leads to holiness because of what you have done. So thank you for this. But today, Jesus, as we have communion with you, as we sit with you, we just marvel as we sit in your presence, and just to know that we are light, we are salt, and that this town, this city, that the places that you've placed us, they've got a witness. And we ask, Father, draw them to your Son, Jesus. I'm asking today for the workers. I'm asking today, as you have been preparing us, that we will become very conscious of the people that you're bringing into our lives, to be able to disciple, to be able to share, to be able to speak about the hope that we have, the anchor of our soul, so that once again they can be encouraged to be able to stand and experience your hope, but also for the unsaved, that they can now enter into your light, into you, God, and experience you being the God of hope. Not the God of regret, not the God of disappointment, the God of hope. You are our Father, the Father of hope. And we, as your children, live in the reality of your hope. And we ask by the Holy Spirit, because our spirit knows this, but I'm asking today that this hope that our spirit participates in will flood into our soul dimension, will flood into our emotions, into our mind, into our heart, and just bring that life into each and every one of us, that we may once again have joy and peace to its fullness within us. And this, Lord Jesus, you have done it for us. And I ask this in your name, so that our Father will be glorified. Amen. 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 Guys, if we have communion this morning, again, just enjoy the presence of God. The song that I've chosen this morning is, the reason why we share this is because we are a witness to the people. And you may have prayed a prayer years ago in your zeal for God and says, God, send me wherever. And you may be in a workplace, in a town, you may be in a school, in a university that you, I don't want to be there. But remember, you prayed, send me wherever you want me to be. And that's where you are. Okay. So be thankful and just realize you are shining in that place. You're a testimony, and just pray. Come now in the name of Jesus and pray for the people that are in your environment, that they can experience God and be born again and come to know him powerfully.